Those of Absolute Broadcasting, its staff, or advertisers. It's time for Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Rahel and Sonia focus on life in modern 21st century Israel, telling the stories of ordinary people living in, loving, and in support of an extraordinary land. Israel is Real is a community-supported program featuring interviews with local, national, and international celebrities, personal life stories, and call-ins. Learn a new Hebrew word every week. Israel is Real. Every Friday on 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk. And now, your hosts, Rahel and Sonia.
Hi, we're Rachel
and Sonia.
And this is Israel is Real, the free voice for Israel. Boker tov lekol ha'mazinim.
Tzohoraim tovim b'Yisrael.
From WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. We'd like to remind you that we need help to stay on the air, and we have a fundraising campaign that is in process all the time. We have a goal this year for $5,400. We are coming up to our birthday, which is in October. That'll be a whole year on the air. So mazel tov to us.
Mazel tov.
And to all of you who are sponsoring shows and keeping
us
on the air. Mm-hmm. Without you, we couldn't do it. And one of our sponsors is Vern Main, the patent and trademark law firm of Vern Main & Associates, a local firm with a global practice, is pleased to announce its new office location at 547 Amherst Street in Nashua. And also on the web at www.vernmain.com. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialist at Vern Main & Associates at their offices on 547 Amherst Street, that's 547 Amherst Street in Nashua, New Hampshire, or on the web at vernmain.com. That's www.vernmaine.com, vernmain.com. We'd like to, Sonia, I'd like to let our listeners know that as we speak, we are about to celebrate and observe the Yom Kippur holiday, or holiday, I don't know if you call it a holiday, but
it's a fast day,
the Day of Atonement. And last week, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, we like to call him Bibi, gave a greeting for the new year. Last week we celebrated Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. So all over the world, Jews are ushering in the Jewish New Year of 5771. So before we continue our broadcast, we're going to hear last week Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's New Year's greeting. So we bring that to you right now.
Dear friends, sitting here in Jerusalem, the United Capital of Israel, I want to wish Jewish communities around the world a Happy New Year. Shana Tova. I hope it will be a year in which our people enjoy security, prosperity, and peace. Last year was one of the safest years in two decades, but last week's brutal murder of four Israelis, including a mother of six and a pregnant woman, reminds us that we must never take our security for granted. We must continue a firm policy that makes clear that terror and missile attacks on our citizens will not be tolerated. The past year has also seen a resurgence in the Israeli economy. Israel has weathered the financial crisis better than nearly any industrialized country. Our economy is now firmly back on a robust plan towards long-term growth. But of course, we know that the crisis is not over, and we shall act resolutely, decisively, but also carefully. In the year ahead, my government will continue on the path of economic reform because a stronger economy means a stronger Israel. The last few days have also seen a renewal of the peace process. I've been calling for direct talks with the Palestinians for a year and a half, and I'm pleased that President Abbas joined me in those talks without preconditions. I believe that we should make every effort to reach an historic compromise for peace over the coming year. Now, I guarantee you one thing, this will not be easy. But as Israel's Prime Minister, it's my responsibility to make every effort to forge a lasting peace with our neighbors. Lasting peace must be anchored in security, and it must be anchored in the recognition of the Jewish state's permanence in this region, not merely as a fact, but as something that our neighbors accept by right. In the next year, Israel will face many challenges. I have no doubt that in meeting those challenges, Jewish communities around the world will stand by Israel's side. I think we've seen that every step of the way up to now. We'll see that every step of the way going forward. May you all have a healthy and happy New Year. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova. We'd like to thank Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And at this moment, we are just going to take a minute to broadcast Israel's national anthem. As it is an anthem, if you're at home, we request that you do stand. Hatikva. Sorry, we apologize. That was not the national anthem. However, you did hear the shofar ushering in the new year. We will find that again. And okay, we're going to find that again, and we'll broadcast it again. Sonia, Boker Tov.
Boker Tov.
We're excited to have our guest this week, and we will tell you soon who that's going to be. But before we do that, we'd like to bring you our Hebrew word, which is actually two words.
Chazara betshuva.
Chazara betshuva. And tell us about chazara betshuva.
First of all, chazara means to come back. Okay, to redo something. And tshuva is actually having two levels of meaning. One, it's repentance. And return. So it's actually when we are saying Chazara Betshuva, it's twice we are saying to go back. It's so strong. Repentance, Teshuva, means regretting an action that we did in our past and trying to resolve and not to repeat it, asking forgiveness, and so on. Return, which is chazara, means coming back to one's soul, one's divine essence, to one's source in God. So the meaning of chazara betshuva is to return to our true self, the cutting through of all those other layers of misguiding actions and distorted priorities, to awaken ourselves to a true will and desire. We should be working to return to the quintessential self that we really are.
And that's the question. Who are we really?
Well, you know, this is why philosophy has never died. Everyone and one, from a while to another, are trying to give a good answer to this. So I don't think that we will be in a position to give this question a good answer.
But we can
try.
Discuss it, debate it.
We can search for it,
and we can make the effort, which is what we're doing today and tomorrow and during this particular time of year, and hopefully all throughout the year, is to look at who we are, where we are, where we came from, where we're going to, and what kind of person we really are, inside and out.
In my opinion, the introspection, it is about that we are part of a very long chain, mm-hmm. life chain, and we are only a part, but it's a significant part, because if somebody is broken this chain. It's broken forever. So the meaning is what we are giving to our kids and to our grandkids and so on and so on.
If you don't mind, Sonia, you know, Sonia and I also work together in our other life as Hebrew teachers and teachers. And I remember last year you told the children a nice story about what tshuva really is, about the spiraling kind of life, the spiral that we, that life, the, you know, we celebrate the new year every year. We go through the same rituals and we come back
so
to the
it's
same
about,
thing.
It's about Rosh Hashanah, and what's the meaning is, Rosh means head, but it also means the beginning. Shana means years, but it also means to change. So the thing is that you can say a happy new year, but actually you are saying have a happy new change.
Mm-hmm.
Change yourself. And also it means to learn. So you need to change yourself. You need to do things in other way. And yes, you'll have also a good year.
And
it is much more than New Year.
And the part I liked was that as we come around every year and we do the same thing every year, we do the same rituals, we say the same prayers.
We are doing the same things, but with a little bit of
we've grown,
changes.
We've
yes.
changed, and we see the
changing.
World a little
right.
bit differently each
right.
time we do
exactly.
it, and we learn something
and this
new.
Is part of, mm-hmm. exactly, this is part of our philosophy. I don't know if it's mm-hmm. only about the Jewish philosophy, probably not, but about the Jewish philosophy, it is taking, you need to take responsibility in order for you to develop yourself and to become a better person.
Exactly. And so. With that, we are going to cut to a break, and then we are going to talk to our guest. And we will let you know who that is when we come back. This is WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. Israel is real.
WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
Ever wonder where the customers are? You know, people going in and out of stores all day long? Well, 14A Broad Street in Nashua is just such a location. Why are we telling you this? Because prime retail space is ready for you to occupy immediately. Call 603-880-0502. Take a look for yourself. That's 880-0502 and ask for Jerry. And someday you can stop wondering and start seeing your customers at your new location, 14A Broad Street, Nashua, 880-0502.
20 years ago, the Americans with Disabilities Act was signed into law. The act was a huge step forward for the 50 million people in this country living with a disability, and the culmination of years of effort by those who marched and spoke up and refused to be treated as second-class citizens. It helped renew the promise that here in America, we're defined not by our limitations, but by our potential. As we celebrate the 20th anniversary of this historic legislation, it's important to remember that we're still fulfilling that promise. We're still working to secure the rights guaranteed by the ADA, the right to live and work without limits, the right to equal justice under the law, and the right of every person in this country to reach for the American dream. We've come a long way since 1990, and I'm committed to making even more progress in the years ahead. Visit disability.gov to see how you can help.
Brought to you by the American Association of People with Disabilities.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong.
These days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes.
Making Home Affordable from the U.S. government has already helped many struggling homeowners. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home. I'm home.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hey, City Hall, we love it when you've got your radios on. Nashua's News and Talk, 1590 WSMN.
And we're back with WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, and we are Israel Israel, the free voice for Israel. I'm Rachel and...
Sania.
And we would like to announce that Christians and Jews United for Israel, CJUI, invites you to join them at Boston's annual Genesis Awards and Interfaith Rally in support of Israel. This event will take place this coming Sunday, September 26th, at 3 o'clock p.m. Sorry, that's not this coming Sunday. That's the Sunday, next Sunday, at 3 o'clock p.m. at Temple Emet in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. The keynote speaker, Frank Gaffney, will speak on defending Israel against threats of nuclear Iran and defending America against radical jihadists and Sharia law. If you'd like to attend this event and get more information, please contact CJUI at cjui.org. That's cjui at cjui.org. And we're back again with today we have a guest who has a repeat performance because he had previously been on our show, I believe it was last month, and told us about one side of him, which was the musical side. This week we are going to talk to Ruby Harris, a virtuoso of Jewish music, also known as the world's greatest blues violinist, and who has performed at sold-out concerts all around the world. He's one of the fathers of Jewish rock and an original member of the band that invented Jewish rock in one of the first of the Klezmer Revival bands, the Diaspora Yeshiva Band. He's toured, recorded with, and davened with the father of modern Jewish music, Rabbi Shlomo Karlebach. And we invite Ruby back again to talk about something a little more personal, about tshuva, chazara b'tshuva, and coming home. Boker tov, Ruby.
Boker tov. How you doing?
Glad to have you back. Glad you're up.
Glad to be back in virtual New England. Where are you? All over the world?
All over the world, we are.
Good.
Completely all over the world.
Was that President Obama in your studio a minute ago?
Close, but no cigar.
Oh, I thought I heard his voice, but it must be a recording. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, we had, you know, Bibi. Bibi came here to speak with us today.
Bibi King? Oh, Bibi Netanyahu. Oh, I see, there's a Jewish blues violinist. You say the word Bibi, you're not sure which Bibi you're talking about.
Well,
that's,
you know,
funny.
I'd say they're both very influential.
Well, hopefully in a good way.
In a very good way. Right. Ruby.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if you were listening at the beginning, but we had talked about chazara b'tshuva, about returning.
Okay.
And
okay,
we gave one definition, and maybe you could tell us what it means to you.
Okay. There is a classic kind of returning, and that means somebody who is a... very spiritual Torah observant person, and he climbs off the mountain, let's just say metaphorically, and becomes a secular physical person. Okay, then one day he has whatever, a revelation, and he comes back up the mountain and he comes back to the spiritual life. That is a classic returnee, Baal Tshuva, as it's called. It's really a halachic designation. It's a legal term in a sense. There are many legal terms for these things. It's very interesting. A person who has had nothing and who knows nothing is called a tinuk shenishbo, meaning a child that was kidnapped by a band of gypsies or a group of wolves, and he grows up stealing and murdering, and he doesn't know that there's a better way. And he's, let's say, let's just throw a number. Let's say he's 21, and all of a sudden he discovers, hey, there's a Torah in the world. There are people. There's morality. There's a life of a higher level. And they, and he says, how do I do this? And they say, you do the A, B, C, D. And he says, I always steal and rob. And they say, well, you can't do that anymore, you know? And so this guy is a Tinuk Shenish Bo, meaning he's a guy who never knew anything. He never knew he was doing wrong. Mm-hmm. So he's innocent. He's not culpable. I mean, of course, he's guilty if he stole and murdered. He has to pay back, and he has to, you know, if he murdered, forget about it. I don't know what, you know, what you do with a guy like that. But, you know, a guy that never did good things because he was raised by parents who were rotten. And then he comes around and says, hey, I can do good things. The classic example of that is Rebecca in the Bible. Her parents and her brother Lavan and Bethuel, they were idol worshippers and thieves, but she chose a higher path. She chose to live the life of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, you know, all these high spiritual great people, instead of being like her father and her brother who were murderers and thieves. So it is possible for all you folks out there.
Who, me? I have a chance?
I don't want to get personal here, you guys, but you know what I mean.
So, Boker Tov, this is Sonia speaking. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Nice to hear you again.
Thank you.
So, from a secular point of view, where have you been in terms of feelings and thoughts before your Chazara Betshuva?
Okay. I come from a great period of American history where the heroes were John F. Kennedy and Sandy Koufax and I know they're not American, but the Beatles and Bob Dylan and Abby Hoffman, all revolutionary personalities in America. And it was a very nice period, the 60s. And the 50s, it was a very good period. We won World War II, and now we were just building America, and baseball was a great thing, and rock and roll was a new thing. And who needs the old world, the old-fashioned world of religion in Europe? Europe was destroyed, and it was tortured, and it was dark, and it was ugly. It was horrible. For 100 years, at least, with Cossacks and pogroms and Nazis and Holocaust, and here we are in America, where it's beautiful. It's everybody's making money and everybody's happy, and television shows an American dream that is Leave It to Beaver and I Love Lucy, and everybody can be happy and have fun, and we don't need the old-fashioned world. Okay, then after like 10, 20 years of this, then we get this assassination of John F. Kennedy and the Vietnam War, and then you get, you know, the recession and poverty and fighting, people bombing each other, civil rights, and it turns out it's not so great out there. Now we need another answer. So that's part A of my answer to your question.
Okay. Well, then, let's personalize it a little bit more.
Okay.
How about you, personally? Where were you?
All right. I didn't mean to say all those things because I was watching it. I was there. I was in it. You know, I mean, I'm not a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers with Sandy Koufax, but it's funny because tomorrow is Yom Kippur, and I remember Yom Kippur in the 60s where we'd go to the temple, we'd go on Yom Kippur, we'd fast, and then halfway through the prayer services, we'd run over across the street to our friend's house to watch the World Series on TV. Because why? Because Sandy Koufax was not pitching because it was Yom Kippur. And we were so proud and we were so happy. The guy is like the greatest guy in the world because he did something Jewish that was cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but what were we doing? We're watching it on Yom Kippur.
Right.
Right, that's because we didn't know. We're Tinuk Shinish Bo, or I was at least. I didn't know. I didn't even know you were not allowed to watch TV on Yom Kippur. I just didn't know, you know. So now I know.
Well, if you weren't watching TV, where should you have been? What should you have been doing?
Well, we were coming from the synagogue. We were coming from the Great Neck Synagogue. It was the break. It was the afternoon. It was after Musaf. There's a break, you know.
Yeah.
Take a break.
Yeah.
So what do we do during the break? We watch the Dodgers play the, who were they playing in 65? Who knows?
So how did you came to the understanding that you want to recognize, know, and live by your Jewish roots?
That is my magnum opus classic story. That's my big story. And that is that I had nothing to do at one point in my life with Judaism. Nothing at all. I was American, secular. Like I was saying before, it was all about rock and roll, bluegrass, jazz, and baseball or movies, TV. Nothing Jewish. Nothing at all. So I go to Europe, and I spend a year in Europe, and I had the best year of my life. And in England, I was with Walter Raleigh and Isaac Newton. In Ireland, I was with James Joyce and Yeats and all the great Irish history. In France, I was in Brittany, and I was in Victor Hugo's house, and I was in Louis XIV's Castle Louvre and Fontainebleau, and I was eating camembert and eating French bread, and everything was beautiful. And French women, you're familiar with, are very beautiful. And then I went to Italy, and I was in Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo and Dante and all the great Italian art and music and science. And Europe was a fantastic place. Then one day, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm an American. America's about 200 years old. We have a lot of history. But Italy has 1,000 years of history, thousands of years. Greece is thousands of years of history. France, England, thousands. So what's so great about America? Nothing. And then I thought to myself, I have no heritage. I have to find a place to live where there's a heritage. I thought, should I go to Ireland? Should I go to Italy? Should I go to France? And I never felt at home. Then I'm in Rome, and I walk into a church, and there's a sculpture of the Moses by Michelangelo, and I'm blown away. It's the greatest sculpture in the history of the world. Everybody agrees. Nobody in this world will disagree that this is the greatest sculpture ever made. It's unbelievable. You know, Michelangelo made a few, the Pieta, the David, but the Moses, and I think to myself, aha, why were all these Europeans painting pictures of Jews the whole time? And I go, my God, Leonardo da Vinci is all Jews. I don't know about the Mona Lisa, but all the other pictures, Michelangelo, the Sistine Chapel, the greatest painting in the world, is all Jewish people. All the great artwork, all the great literature. Bach spent his entire life playing the music of King David and the Psalms and the Bible. It's all about the Bible. It's all written by Jews. And I think to myself, hey, I'm a Jew. And I know nothing about my own people, my own thing. Why are these people spending their lives, the greatest people of all time, Michelangelo, Bach, Leonardo, Dante, why they spend their entire life talking, writing, thinking about Jewish people and Jewish thoughts? And I said to myself, I got to find out more about my own heritage, my own people.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent 2 months on the beach in Greece. Eating Greek salad and drinking Mataxa and Uzo and having a great time. And then I fly in an airplane to Tel Aviv. By the way, in Greece, I met a fiddle player. I even forget his name. Do you remember his name, Ann? Rachel?
I don't think so. It's not Raphael. Wasn't Raphael.
I was on a
Yanni?
Beach.
Yeah, maybe Yanni.
No, it was an American guy. It was not a Jewish guy. It was just some American guy with a fiddle. And he starts playing bluegrass. I said, where'd you learn that? He said, in Israel. I said, you learn bluegrass in Israel? He said, yeah, I got some friends in Israel. I was just there. I had a great time. I said, what were you doing there? He said, playing bluegrass fiddle.
Yeah, it wasn't Yoav, maybe.
No, it was not an Israeli or a Jew. It was an Irish guy from America, California or something. Like his name was Danny or Henry. Somebody. And I said, he said, here, I'll give you some names of people in Israel that play bluegrass. And your name was one of the names. Don't you remember? You don't remember. It's too long.
Well,
ago.
You know, a lot of people were going through Israel at that time, and that was... Oh, that was just yesterday, but, you know, the name seems to slip.
All right, Rachel, we're getting old. We're getting old. But anyway, this guy taught me a few fiddle tunes. I came to Jerusalem. I got your number. I called you up. I said, hey, my name is Bobby Harris, and you said, all right, let's pick a few tunes, you know? And that's how we met.
Right.
It's an amazing story, amazing.
And that brought you to Israel. We've got about a minute, if you can, if you have about another minute before we have to cut to a break. So you get to Israel, and you meet me, and your life changes because of me. Great. Amazing.
Really, it does. I want you to know, you all there out in Radio Land, that this lady, Rachel... change the world.
Thank you, Ruby.
In a good way, hopefully.
Still working on it. Still working on it.
Right. But that's it. When I got to Israel, I thought, aha, this is my people's home. This is my heritage. Now I have to open up the book to page one and learn everything about history of Israel, Judaism, and believe me, 5,000 years of history is no... a nutshell course. It takes a long time. And so I learned it. Now I know it all.
So you were there for the long haul, it seems, and you didn't know it. We're going to come back, and I'd like you to tell us about that journey when you got to Israel and how it brought you back to your roots, back to being a Jew, observant Jew. So we're going to take a break. This is WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. We're Israel, Israel, the free voice for Israel.
Shashu nafshi Roy Sarapai Kirby
1590 WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
Walmart will be hosting a fall packing event, gathering care packages for members of our armed services serving outside the continental United States. To date, Walmart has shipped over 26,000 care packages to our troops. Anyone interested in donating to the cause can drop off a new soccer ball, a brown bag filled with items, or make a financial donation which will be used to defray mailing costs. Suggested brown bag packing items include patriotic items, candy, healthy snacks, and encouraging notes and cards. Please, no toiletries, liquids, home-baked goods, or fireworks. The fall packing event takes place Thursday and Friday, September 23rd and 24th, from 3 to 7 p.m., at the U.S. Army National Guard Armory on 154 Daniel Webster Highway. If you or your group would like to volunteer, please email paul@mormart.org. For more information, log on to mormart.org. That's mormart.org.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Trouble on Rock Hill.
Ain't nothing like running up and down Rock Hill.
Hey, let's move this rock.
Whoa! Sassy, Johnny's stuck under that rock. Yeah, girl, go tell Mr. Gunderson to bring his truck. You'll tell him, but only after you dispel a stereotype associated with shelter pets? People think shelter pets come with lots of initial veterinary costs?
It's dusty under here.
But in reality, most shelter pets have been vaccinated, neutered, and microchipped in case they get lost?
My pants ripped.
Sassy, Johnny needs help. What Johnny really needs is more discipline and better parental supervision? You use big words, Sassy.
Still under the rock.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
You're receiving Downtown Nashua's other free wireless service. No computer required. We're 1590 WSMN.
And we're back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, where Israel is real, the free voice for Israel. We'd like to just take a moment to mention one of our sponsors.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know that historically there has never been an Arab-Palestinian state or Arab-Palestinian sovereignty over the West Bank, Gaza, or Israel? To stay informed and to get Vision's emails alert and be connected to our educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision website at www.newhampshireforisrael.org. That's www.nh4israel.org.
Thank you. And we're back with Ruby Harris. And actually, I will make a mention that we are listening to Ruby's music in and out of breaks. So please take note. And that's rubyharrismusic.com, www.rubyharrismusic.com. Ruby.
Yes.
Boker Tov. Still with us. We're coming into the last leg, unfortunately. We don't have as much time as we thought. But maybe in this time that we have, you, as we mentioned before, we want you to tell us a little bit about your Chazara B'Tshuva, how coming to Israel took you home back to your Jewish heritage, how you changed your life, what kind of influences, your spiritual life, your personal, your musical life, all of that, if you can turn all those questions into one great, wonderful, brilliant answer.
Okay, 30 years and 3 minutes here. Here we go. I'm walking around Jerusalem looking at a 5,000-year-old city. And it's, first of all, the most beautiful city in the world, Jerusalem. It's really up there with the top. And I go into one of the buildings at Mount Zion, which is built by the Crusaders, in 1,000 years ago, and that's built on top of a Roman fortress, which is built on top of a King Solomon building, and it's really beautiful and ancient. And I see them reading these books that look about as old as the building, which is 2,000 years old. And I say, what does that book say? You know? And they say, well, this is the Talmud. And I say, well, does it say anything about music? Does it say anything about how to run the economy in the United States? You know, I didn't know anything about it. Does it say anything about civil rights? And I started having these discussions about all of these topics from a Jewish perspective, and I realized I know nothing about my own heritage, my own history. So first I better start reading and catching up. And before I develop an opinion, and I was a very opinionated person.
Was?
Still is. Still, I still is. And I say to myself, why did I not learn any of this stuff? Now, I come from Great Neck, New York, which is like right in Long Island. You know, there's tons of Jews, you know, Bob Dylan and Peter, Paul, and Mary, and everybody is, you know, from this part of New York. Everybody's hanging out there. And I knew nothing about Judaism. I said, why did I not learn any of this? Why was I not taught it? Why was this hidden from me? Why was the Talmud hidden? Why was the Jewish Napoleon had a big meeting with Jewish leaders of Poland? He came to Israel. What's his name? Eichmann, yeah, Eichmann of the Nazis. He came to Jerusalem when he was a child. How come I didn't know any of this stuff? How come I didn't know about the Dreyfus Affair? How come I didn't know about the Spanish Inquisition? How come I was not taught about King Ferdinand and Isabella and the Jewish Spanish Golden Age 1,000 years ago? How come I learned nothing? I said, I better start learning about this stuff.
I want to interrupt you, and I'm sorry that I'm doing this. Please. And what is your answer? Why you haven't been taught about?
That's a very important question and a very great answer. And my answer to that is that America, which I love, and it's a great country, is founded by the Pilgrims and the Dutch and the Spanish, but really it's founded by Christians. And how do the Christians feel about the Jews? The Christians for 2,000 years have not felt so good about the Jews as a religion, as a people. You know, individual Christians, we're all friendly with each other. Everybody's friendly, Muslims, Christians, Jews. But I'm talking about philosophically. So the Christian religion comes from the Roman religion, and that was the Holy Roman Empire. And they destroyed Israel. They destroyed Jerusalem. They killed Jesus. You know, so it's like the Jews didn't kill Jesus, but Jesus was a Jew. He was one of 2 million Jews that were killed by the Romans. So all of Jewish history was erased and wiped out and forgotten. And that happened through Europe. Europe, I don't have to tell you World War II Europe, how they felt about the Jews. Everybody knows about that. But today in modern America, modern world, Jewish history is very localized for Jews. It's very hidden. And when I was growing up in the 60s, Jewish history was hidden because it's part of the Holy Roman Empire, and they don't like to talk about Jewish history. They like to talk about American history, English history, European history, the Habsburgs, the British Empire, the French, the French Revolution. The Jewish part of history, which is vast and enormous, is hidden. And I looked at these books and I said, why was this hidden? And I found out that we are hidden because we're very special, very important, and the light is too bright for the world at this time. Until the Mashiach comes, it's too bright. It has to be covered up. So I had to learn it on my own.
Your return, your sudden appearance in Israel, and it brought you sort of full swing around and brought you back. Tell us a little bit about that, and also how you are passing that on to your children.
Okay. What is the difference between you and your kids?
Okay, everything in that we're talking about, be it the Bible or Bach, be it Aretha Franklin and B.B. King, or rock and roll, or the Kabbalah, or Israel, or Torah, it all has one thing in common. And you know what that thing is?
What's
it's
that?
It's all talking about God. It's all talking about God. Even Einstein talked about God. Even Karl Marx, who was atheist and anti-God, he spent his life fighting God. So it's either you're on one side or the other. You're either Bach spent his whole life writing about God music, you know, and Michelangelo spent his whole life painting people doing God stuff, or they spend their whole life, the atheists, fighting against God. So God is right in the middle of the whole thing. God brought me to Israel. God is all about Israel. And the Talmud and the Torah is all about God and his relationship with the world and Israel. That's what tshuva is. That's what returning. What does it mean, returning? To what? Returning to Israel? Returning to ancient philosophy? No. Returning to the creator of the universe, to have a relationship with God.
Well, and this, compared to the way you grew up, and now you've got your own children, and how are you passing this belief, this very, very important part of you and of us as Jewish people, how is that getting passed on and carrying on through your children? How you were raised different than the way you're raising your children today?
Would you believe that my daughter is today is her due date? She is pregnant.
Mazel tov, b'shah tova.
B'shah tova. Today is her due date. I just spoke to her. She lives in Be'er Sheva, Israel, where it all started with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She lives there with her husband and her two-year-old kid, my grandson, and she's due today to have a baby. As we speak, she could be, I know she was, you know, any minute now,
mm-hmm.
Kinahara. And I have four kids, Kinahara, and they're all fantastic kids. They're all very involved in their heritage, although one of my kids is in California discovering California as opposed to anything we're talking about, but having a good time. And my kids are very involved in, you know, they grew up with, you know, all the Jewish and the Israeli people and the culture, so they're into it. They're positive about it. It's a great, great thing, Jewish culture and Israeli culture. It's very fantastic stuff. It's great. Israel has done more for science and mathematics and art and music. Yitzhak Perlman is the greatest violinist in the world. Israel is a fantastic country, and you know, unfortunately surrounded by people that want to steal the land away from them, but that's nothing new.
Well, we've got a few more minutes. I wonder if you could just say, do you think that journey bringing you back was difficult for you? Was it hard, or would you recommend it to others?
I think that everybody should read a book of Jewish history, and if I may say so, read a book of Jewish history that's a classic standard Jewish book of history. There are some revisionists now writing history, like Elon Pappy and Nevi Gordon, who are writing revisionist history, which is really anti-Semitic and anti-Jewish. And I recommend the standard Jewish history. And the best is a guy named Beryl Wine, Wein. You could get it online anywhere. Beryl Wine, all the history of all the periods of Jewish history for the last 1,000 years, or the medieval period, or the ancient period, or the modern period, meaning 1600, 1700, 1800. See, 1776, when America was founded, that's called modern Jewish history. Although it's the day America was founded, for the Jews it was like 4,000 years old already. So people know nothing about Jewish history, and it's so amazing. King Solomon, the temple, and King David, and Abraham, Moses, and then in the medieval period and the Renaissance, Jews of the Renaissance and Jews of the Spanish era with Maimonides, that is a fantastic, fascinating period of Jewish history.
We have a really rich, rich history, a long history, and I think that if I could intercede, I would say that ending up in Israel changed my life. It turned my life around completely, and it sounds like it turned your life around as well. And I would take this moment just to recommend that people be in Israel, take a trip to Israel, and see if it changes their lives. See if it changes your life.
A land of miracles, a beautiful place, a historic place. I just found out that Jerusalem is one of the world's top 10 tourist destinations. For Christians, it's got the Last Supper room and the place of the cross and all the history of Jesus and Bethlehem and Nazareth. For Muslims, it has fantastic history. For Hindus, it has fantastic history. But for Jews, there's nothing compares. You've got to go.
Thank you, Ruby. We are coming to the end of our show. We're going to have to stop you there. And it's been really a pleasure to have you back again. And have you as a friend as well, and we'd like to wish you we'd like to wish you a Gemar Chatima Tova, that you should have a wonderful, easy fast today. And again, for our listeners, and we'd like to remind you, we have been listening to Ruby's music, and you can find Ruby and contact Ruby through www.rubyharrismusic.com. Am I correct?
And Google Ruby Harris, and I'm in Chicago. I'm easy to find.
Okay.
Look me up. I play weddings, bar mitzvahs, and funerals, but you have to pay in advance for that. That's a joke. Okay.
All right, Ruby, it's great. We'll talk to you after the show, and thanks for coming back.
Thank you. You do a great job, Sonia and Rachel.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Gemar Chatima Tova.
Gemar Chatima Tova. Lehitraot.
Lehitraot.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.
Shana Tova.
Our parasha this week, we're just talking about Yom Kippur. Before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the pinnacle of the Yom Kippur service was the moment when the high priest, the Kohen HaGadol, would enter the Holy of Holies. He would go in. If he survived, then we knew that life was going to be good. If he had died, then the other Kohenim would have to pull his body out by a rope. And if he succeeded in his mission to obtain God's forgiveness for the Jewish people, he emerged radiating a special glow that was vividly described in our Yom Kippur prayers. Today we have no high priest and no temple, but the Holy of Holies still exists in the depths of our own soul. On Yom Kippur, we attempt to reach that purest part of ourselves and there to connect with God. We are Rachel and Sonia. This is Israel is Real. Our theme song is by Rachel. Hine Matov, RachelMusic.com. We're on the air every Friday, 10 to 11. Don't forget to check us out. And we are Nashua's News and Talk, WSMN 1590. Shana Tova.
WSMN in Nashua, New Hampshire.